Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey, everybody. It's so good to see you this week. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat. Spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Oh, warm the soul there. Yeah, guys, I'm so sorry about last week. Houston and Texas in general. You know that old saying that J.J. Watt wouldn't leave unless hell froze over? Well, guess what? Hell froze over, Texas froze over, and took all the Watts with it. We lost power. Lots of people had pipes burst. The situation in Houston last week was a complete nightmare. In fact, even this station, which we talk a little bit about it on air, went dark for a few days. It was just a nightmare situation. So we couldn't get in to do an episode. I apologize, but we're back this week. And this week I'm joined by Todd Grube and Mike Selipek, longtime friends, really good friends. We talk every day. And we just have a few drinks. We catch up on the nightmare that was last week, have a few pours of some interesting things, and a good time was had by all, as I like to say. So thanks to all of our sponsors. Of course, Balcones. We got to try our new Sneaky Pete. For those who are, that are wanting to know about what's happening this weekend, so today is Friday. I will say that tomorrow, or this week is what I'll say, this week we're releasing Houston Bourbon Society's Honey Barrel, which we took a honey barrel from local honey here in Texas, took it up to Balcones. They put whiskey in the barrel for a few months, almost a year. We're releasing that honey barrel as well as a port wine barrel this week. So if today's Friday, it means it's either releasing today or tomorrow. And we'll be releasing that at Area Specs across Houston. So pay attention to the group for information on where to find that. What else? I think that pretty much covers all of our things. Real quick, I want to take a quick moment to just ask you guys to please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to iTunes, Apple iTunes. Go to the show. Rate and review it. Give it 5 stars. Say something nice about it. Some woman recently said that I'm a very knowledgeable man, a young man, and I appreciated that very kindly. My head continues to grow. So please wait and review the show. And we crossed the 10,000 mark subscribers on YouTube. So really, really looking forward to that. And yeah, without further ado, Mike Selipek and Todd Grube. Cheers. Guys, welcome. I don't think we've... I know I've had Mike on, and I know I've had Todd on a bunch. I don't think I've had you on together.
Yeah.
Like, at least twice.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, my bad.
After the first Kentucky trip we took, we came on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we did the episode with the questions, like the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Mary Kill. That's right, 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 right. Yeah. You guys asked me which one of my wife's sisters I'd like to sleep with, which was fun. Yay. So listen, I'm glad to have you guys back on. I thought we could... You know, we have, for those who don't know, we I guess 2 years ago, December of 2018, we started a chat together, and we talk in it every day. We share our complaints with the world, the hobby, politics, a little bit of everything. And the only person in our chat who hasn't been on the show is our short friend Adrian. But yeah, I thought I could have you guys on. We could taste a few things. I know we've for those who aren't aware, Texas and Houston in particular, not just Houston in particular, all of the state was in a post-apocalyptic freeze last week. We avoided pipes. Did you guys, I know you guys fared.
Yeah, we didn't have any issues with pipes or anything like that. We just lost power. It was like camping inside.
Mike and his wife bought a mansion I think it was last fall.
Yeah.
Todd's power went out early, huh?
Yeah, it was only about 24 hours. So it was cold and we were getting ready to bail. But I turned the water off early, so no pipes. We made out okay. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, we a little under 2 days with no power. And that's the only thing we didn't plan for. We actually had tons of batteries, tons of water. You know, we were kept warm, no problem. But the one thing we didn't account for was just that I didn't know our electrical grid was just gonna just give up.
It's funny, like the hurricane planning that we do, everyone has to, like Jenny just pulled out all these lights, these like battery powered lights that were amazing.
Which
to
is get what around we had, the
house. Yeah, we all had our batteries. Too,
they like pop up and we just had them all over the house. But yeah, the power thing.
I mean, I know some people had it pretty rough. Once you get past the uncomfortableness of waking up in a 40 degree household, the kids had fun with it. It wasn't too bad, and we got a new dog out of it. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah,
we didn't really talk about it. It just appeared.
Well,
yeah, so it was just like, hey, I have a dog now.
We didn't tell the story because it's kind of messed up. But basically, what happened was 8 o'clock on Saturday, 8 o'clock in the morning.
So like right before
the day before the freeze, there was a puppy about 7 months old on our front porch. A little blue heeler mix, beautiful dog. And we've got a cat. And my wife and kids woke me up screaming, let's go get the dog. I'm like, no, we don't know this dog. It could be diseased. Don't bring it in and get our cat that we have sick. And I went out and looked at it. The dog looked relatively fine. It looked like an outdoor dog. No fleas. Didn't have any fleas. So we checked our cameras. And right before this happened, a woman was walking down the street to this where we are on our street. There is a dead end about 100 yards from my front door. And a lot of times people will abandon things there, cars, things. So she's holding a laundry basket in a very odd way, very peculiar way.
Mm.
And there's a blanket over it and she's holding it like this. And she walks right past the cameras and then comes back and then is like swinging the basket like it's empty, right?
This is when the weather was cold.
This is right before.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez. This is
that
right.
Pisses me off.
Right before the freeze. So apparently, and I can't guarantee because I couldn't see what was in the basket, but it was very peculiar that within a couple of minutes of her coming back, the dog walks onto our porch. So, and we don't live in a bad neighborhood. I'm making it sound
maybe
like
she follows you on Facebook and knows that your insulation is really good.
Dude, this would be a nice warm place for this
dog. I think that's what saved our broken pipes.
Yeah.
Because we got all this insulation done at R70, like spray foam, blow in, and the neighbors on either side of us both had a pipe burst. So we got lucky, man. It was totally coincidental.
Like you did it all at the right time.
So I can use a drink. So let's get into this. I did bring a couple things I thought we can get started with. Todd here is part of the group that does the Gregarious Grump selections. It would be great. I thought if Mike could join us in the future.
Yeah.
But what I did is I brought a couple things. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Let you taste it. Give your opinion, give your thoughts, and then I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
A little fun game. All right?
So you're not going to tell what type of spirit it is?
Nope. I mean, well, no. You'll, it's rum. Okay. It's rum. Yeah. Okay. So all these are rum. Right. So, okay. And we have cognac coming, and we have whiskey coming, both Canadian. We have a bunch of different things coming that we're going to taste, and we're working on some wide release. So this is, I'm not going to tell you. Just bring your glass here.
Yeah, we lost, I think we lost power Sunday night.
That's for you, yeah.
We woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and the house was freezing cold.
Yeah.
It wasn't that cold in hindsight. And then we kind of had it on and off for like 15 minutes at a time. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's old.
It's got to be Jamaican.
That's all I'll say. There. Let's have a dump glass because I don't know where I can be able to drink all this. So that's your dump glass.
Oh, wow.
And I just need something to drink.
There's like that burnt rubber taste kind of at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we as we know with rum, it's got that Dunder Pit style.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah, so we made it out okay. I know we mentioned Adrian earlier. For those who don't know what Adrian looks like, this is Adrian here. Adrian is a longtime friend of ours that participates in our before he moved to California, like a liberal.
Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, who leaves Texas to go to California? Everyone else is leaving California to come to Texas.
He has dyslexia and falls Rogan a lot.
Yeah.
He went the other way.
I just think of that part on, like, Independence Day when they're all driving into D.C. and everyone's trying to leave. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, their only moron, like, trying to get over there.
I always picture South Park, the San Francisco episode, where they smell their own farts. And like, and they close their eyes when they talk.
Yes, yes, yeah. I mean, he does live in a very fancy area. Jesus. I think so.
Warming up the chest over here. All right, so what do you think of that?
I mean, I like it, but I like funky.
Yeah,
you can taste the age on it. You know, I get like a little dusty funk.
Yeah, so that is it's 35-year-old Jamaican.
Really?
So, but what's the story? Is that 35 aged where?
So I'd have to ask, but you know, normally we'll get ages and proofs, and I'm willing to bet that
it's got to have some Continental, right?
I'm willing to bet it's, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It turns out our Foursquare release we did for Grump was 11 years Caribbean aged and 1 year overseas. Yeah. So they sent it over to, Europe, at 11 years old and just sat there for about another year before it got selected. Mm. So
that was just kind of like the holding area, I guess. It wasn't like intentional that it ended up being a year probably over in...
No, yeah. So one of the brokers is out of the UK. There's another one in Belgium. There's a few brokers.
It didn't change barrels. It just stayed in
stayed in the same barrel. Yeah.
So, I mean, I haven't really had ultra-aged rum like this. So to me...
Yeah, the problem is that's going to be about $650 a bottle.
Yeah. I haven't really... I haven't picked up on...
So we're not doing that one.
Yeah. I haven't necessarily picked up on like the old flavors. I mean, you definitely get... I definitely get the oak influence, which I don't pick up a lot. Even
it's definitely a used barrel. Yeah. I mean, it should be way darker for that age.
Yeah. These old rums are really interesting. You know, some of the stuff that we tasted through, some of them were like, we kind of liked it, and others, they were just a train wreck.
Garbage, yeah.
Yeah, horrible.
So I also got something that I really wanted you to taste, and we can go... let's go this one next.
I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah.
So
what are you laughing at?
I'm bumping.
Phrasing.
Yeah. Oh, did I say it weird? I missed. Oh, by the way, did you see D'Elia's response?
I did.
Oh man, what'd you think?
I mean, mic.
You don't have a mic? Yeah. Oh, that's stupid. Well, I like it when you talk off camera. It's like when Jamie talks off camera. Yeah. So I saw Chris D'Elia's response video. I sent it to our chat.
Oh yeah.
What did you guys? Did you watch it?
You know, I started watching it and then I got interrupted and then I forgot to go back to it. Yeah. So
I didn't even think about discussing this today. And then by then I saw that beautiful man right there and I was like, he was a huge. You can talk about people who are heartbroken about this. This guy's a huge D'Elia fan. Yeah. Okay. Didn't D'Elia like your picture with Brian and the video you posted?
I don't remember, but maybe. I don't know.
Remember you were wearing the D'Elia shirt?
Yeah, yeah. The baby shirt. Yeah. Because that was the gimmick was people would show D'Elia their shirt Callan their shirt. And
it'd be D'Elia.
Stick the finger at them. Yeah. But then they both got canceled.
Yeah. They did.
That was like back-to-back cancellations. This is... Oh, that's good. That's good.
So this is from Nicaragua. No. No, this is not Nicaragua.
It's definitely... Oh, wow.
Yeah, Chris says, I want you guys to guess.
I know.
So this is a 15-year Nicaraguan.
Sorry. No, it's not Nicaraguan. It's not 15 years old. And look at the color on that baby.
Yeah.
It has a really unique smell to it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this. Yeah, so I watched a D'Elia video. So for those who aren't up to snuff, originally it was a bunch of under 18-year-old girls who had said... D'Elia was grooming them or in their DMs or whatever. And it turns out all of the screenshots right after they said how old they were, where he just stopped responding, that's where the screenshots ended.
Oh, of course.
Which is what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah. Like we find out.
And he said that he didn't do anything illegal.
Right. Yeah, right. He made it very clear. He's like, no, everything that I did was consensual and it was legal. There was nothing... You know, it might be a little creepy for a guy who just turned 40 to be talking to 22-year-olds.
Right.
But that's also kind of a thing for some people.
Yeah.
But the thing he did do, though, is just like he just had a newborn kid and was engaged. And in the video, he openly talks about how he basically just philandered his way through every city he could
visit.
Sex
addiction.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Huge sex addiction.
It was hard to watch that video.
I thought it was... humanizing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not siding with him.
It's a shame that the guy had to, like, yes, you're a celebrity, and yes, like your life is out there, but to have to sit there and talk about your sexuality and like addictions and like,
oh,
it was hard to watch.
Louis C.K.'s 1 hour special when he came back.
I didn't see it yet.
Yeah, so he made that joke. He's like, you know, your sex addictions are your sex addictions.
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah.
How nice for you to know what you like and no one else to know what you like, right?
Right?
Yeah. Like, it's such a... Oh, man, that burn's going down. What do you think of that, huh?
I actually like this better than the first one.
I know, right? So yeah, this, I think we are going to do.
Yeah.
This is 26-year-old Jamaican.
Oh, wow.
It's hyper-aged, you know, super old, and it's... like more than half the cost of the other one.
I definitely pick up more on like the oak influence here. Yeah. It's kind of that spicy.
It's really nice.
This is tremendous. Yeah. I immediately was like, I want this. Like, give me the numbers. Well, what are we looking at numbers wise?
What's the distillery? I thought you talked about
it. I have it written down. I'm not familiar with this code.
This one's not as, this one's definitely not as funky.
It's 68% too. Flammable AF.
68.
Oh, man. Man. It's weird. I know. My sinuses are all kind of...
It doesn't really drink that high. I mean, it's hot.
No,
it's
definitely but it's...
Hot. I wouldn't have thought it was that hot.
I threw in the fire. It definitely works. Yeah. Well, and not
that's
the video.
You're keeping warm.
Not the video I posted. I got like one sinus thing close. Here's a question. Would you rather have COVID, no sense of taste or smell, or Adrian's palate when it comes to tasting whiskey?
I mean... Probably the COVID no taste of smell. Adrian's palate is terrible.
You'd still be able to, like, you know, a blind dog can still hunt. You know
right,
I mean?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I mean, good Lord, that guy. I don't even know why you invited him on that one barrel trip. That was ridiculous.
I do love the guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Again, this is what Adrian looks like here. Boom. All right, so we're definitely doing this one.
This is delicious.
26 years old. It's going to be pricey.
Yeah.
But in the realm of 26-year-old Velier releases, it's going to be way cheaper than anything else out there. I'll put it this way. There's nothing out there this old, single barrel, cask rum, cash strength, unfiltered.
What does Velier even have out there that's that old?
Well, they used to do some old stuff back in the day, but now they've moved on to like... Clarin and they move on to appropriating other
they just
spirits.
Did that privateer that was pretty young,
didn't Blackadder, which I know is a different company, I think, right? But they had some unfiltered. I remember trying it at the Whiskey Social last
year. We had some on last week. Blackadder did a raw cask series that's tremendous. I think it was no, we didn't do an episode last week, so that's I meant to mention that. So, guys, apologies again for last week. We didn't do an episode because of the end of the world. It was no one even, I think, did anyone come in last week?
On Friday.
And do shows at all?
Yeah, Friday.
So what do y'all do, like, for radio, for the daily shows? Like, if you got someone that does drive time 7 to 9 or something, or 6, what's the drive time?
We have 7 to 11 slot and 11 to 2.
All right, so 7 to 11, those weekly shows that they're here every morning. Yeah. They just didn't come in. Y'all ran reruns?
Well, so the building was down, so we really couldn't do anything because the thing that ties us to... So we're tied to the ESPN network. So when local programming go down, we can switch over to national.
Oh, I see.
But the entire building was like down power, so there was no way of switching it. There was no like tie into the network.
So
we were just dark.
Yeah.
It was dark.
Real apocalypse.
Dead air for 5 days. Wow.
And so we had two stations that went down because we 97.5 and 92.5 are the same station simulcast, just different parts
of the city.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so they were down for like 3 days, two or 3 days. We were back up doing national, and then Friday we did local.
Yeah, it was something to behold for sure. Hey man, I can afford shoes again. This is really bothering me. Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, now that your electric bills are lower.
Now that my electric bills, the insulation, I'm not gonna lie. So there's this website called smartmetertexas.org.
Yeah.
And as a homeowner who cares about my electricity bill, I check it all the time. It tells you what your daily electricity usage is.
Yeah.
And it was really cool seeing zeros for 2 days. Like, I'm just thinking of like, oh, my electrical bill is going to be nothing. Like, I just was so excited. So this was fantastic. So we're definitely doing this. This is the Nicaraguan.
Jeez, I can't move without bumping these mics.
Did you borrow that jacket from Jenny?
Hey, you can't say that because it's not even small.
I mean...
if I put it on.
I mean, well, you're also you're saying like 6'3" and 225.
But you're also like 5'2" and 160. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Adrian would be swimming in either of these shirts. So he's such a little guy. I mean, he's a little plump, though.
He's a little smoky, I like to call him.
what did he say? First time I met him, like a fat Christian Slater.
He did say that?
Yeah,
then we were like, no, you're a fat Clark Duke.
Yeah.
You're a skinny Clark Duke.
Clark Duke.
I do like the fat Christian Slater. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh.
So I know we've got. Are we going in September? Does the world know? Have you guys made the?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So we've got a trip planned for September, but you're probably not going to be able to make it.
I probably won't be able to make it.
Oh, my God. This smells fantastic.
This has a really unique flavor. It's, mm-hmm. it's like very herbal.
Yeah. It's Nicaraguan rum, unadulterated.
Wow.
We haven't done a Nicaragua release. And to be honest with you, a lot of people who were sourcing from Nicaragua stopped because they've been in quite the turmoil.
There was like
turmoil.
The Florida Caña, right?
That was years ago, though.
I know, but there was like a whole like bad worker conditions and stuff like that, right? I remember like a bunch of bars got rid of their... That's like the big brand that comes from Nicaragua, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, I don't know how many distillers.
Hope I'm not like disparaging.
I don't know.
Actually. I hope I'm not disparaging an entire. I think that's right.
But it's okay.
Yeah,
you're right.
Well, that's true. It's expected, I guess. But no, I mean, I think that I remember people got rid of Florida Caña. That is Nicaraguan.
Yeah.
Rum, right?
Yeah. Okay. So that whole thing took place. Basically,
I know that was a long time ago.
Foreign owned company that came in and bought it, and they were upset about the working force, but they disputed that. And I think it went away because they were that it wasn't like that.
Okay.
That it was false or that they had fixed whatever issues. It was the previous owners, whatever the case might be.
But there's like – I'm trying to think of other Nicaraguan rum brands aside from like – I know like Plantation has done some bottlings of their rum. I'm trying to think if there's any other major brands.
No, I'd have to double check. What did you bring with you?
Me?
Yeah.
I brought so – you know, you invited me to that one group, and I picked up a couple of, not dropping a lot on Dusty's, but I like Four Roses.
Speaking of the mic, no one can hear you.
Sorry. I brought a Four Roses from 1980. It was a Dusty that I picked up on one of the groups.
Four
like
Roses is so hot right now, yeah.
Yeah, and this is, you know, back then.
What's here?
I mean, I don't know. This is like their old version of Yellow Label. So this is it's 6-year age statement, but, you know, back then, in the U.S., they were only selling the crappy blended stuff. So this would have been an export. I don't know what
country. Well, I think they moved away from that. So it was shortly before that, they were mostly grain alcohol or vodka mixed with a little whiskey.
Right.
50s, 60s, there was a lot of that. But they...
I thought even up until like the 2000s, they were still selling in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah, because I do remember at one point they basically pulled...
They bought back all of it and destroyed it, I think.
All of the good bourbon started going to Japan and overseas, and then they only sell the shit here.
But this has an export tax stamp on it. I haven't tracked down where exactly it went to. But anyway, so I brought that. It's pretty good. To me, it doesn't taste anything like the current stuff.
What's the proof on? Is it 86?
It's 86, so... And then the next one is a George Dickel from, I think this was like 1976, on the bottom there.
I'm curious about that one because some of the old Dickel I've had taste nothing like
it. It tastes nothing like the current stuff at all, which, I mean, I like the current stuff. I know it's very polarizing, but I don't know. That was pretty good too. Anyway, you're welcome to
try them. Hand me that sample bottle of Nicaragua, if you don't mind.
Do you want to try one of these?
Yeah, I'm going to try it right now. What did y'all think of this? So this is 16 years old Nicaraguan rum, 64%. Yay, nay, pass.
I actually really like this. I like that floral, almost minty kind of on the finish.
What might
there.
The price point be?
I think cheaper than the last run. So the problem we're in now is this, most of what we just are in the middle of buying, about 22 barrels, is from one broker.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I liked from this broker was the Nicaraguan rum, and they only have 2 barrels of it. So it's the shipping to get them to me are the same if it's 2 barrels or if it's 6 barrels.
Okay.
So I'm trying to see what else they have before we bite on this. But I want to say it's cheaper. I want to say around $100.
What's the story on the last round of rum that we tasted?
So I explained it in our chat. The that was right in the middle of me doing the buyout thing. And so typically what happens is when you get a rum offer, they tell you what they have available, they'll send you samples, and you have like 60 days to close the deal, to buy the rum, to get the shipping worked out, all that stuff. And we just went right past that limit. Okay. That being said, I did salvage a four square barrel that was still there.
Nice.
So
that was
the best one. The big portion of our what we tasted and liked got picked up by other people.
Yeah.
But there's still
you know, there were some interesting rums there, but the four square was the best one, I think.
Listen, amazing. I loved Foursquare 12-year. I think it was the least desirable out of the three that we bottled. Like, yeah. I think the Belize was just great. The Guyana was
probably the most approachable to somebody just getting into it, but not the best.
But 15-year-old Foursquare?
Yeah, it's...
I also got
it some... It was amazing.
I brought some Cask Strength Mount Gay that you guys can taste.
Oh, wow. I've never had a...
18 and 19 years old.
Nice.
Cask Strength Mount Gay. I mean, what's there to complain about?
Awesome.
And I've only ever had, like, 18 and 19 years old and, like, I think... Under 130.
Do we know about the casks that they use? Because, you know, it was a big revelation when Richard and Foursquare said that they use Jack Daniel's barrels. I wonder if they use... I imagine it's bourbon.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to lie. I try not to speak on something if I'm not sure, which is why my thoughts on coronavirus are, like, perfectly, you don't have, like, perfectly flawless. Degree. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Four Roses. Man, I really want to get Christina P. on this week. She's here in Houston.
Oh, that would be sweet.
It's impossible.
Did you already have this?
Yeah, I have it.
Like, I follow her on Dr. Drew so much, The Rational Revolution. Yeah, I've been following that. It's so great.
I was actually listening to one of the recent podcasts on my drive.
I'd love to, I mean, we don't even have to drink, but I'd love to have lately, she's been talking about drinking a lot because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have a few drinks and just talk about the Rational Revolution. All of these, like, I got this guy the other day posted asking for anyone who's an independent or for a brand owner for a tequila or mezcal company.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Did you watch that thread?
I know you posted it like in our chat.
Oh, in our
like
chat,
All
I said was the question was should you use a or. Which one of my friends who are brand owners for tequila and mezcal companies use a PR firm and why?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Oh, right.
And I said, no. I don't think it's necessary. You can – and I guess it could have been more thorough. But what I said was, as long as you respect the culture and respect where it comes from, you should be okay. Just put a little effort into it is all I'm saying. Like, you know, there's Desert Door – has caught some flack because it's almost, for those who don't know Sotol, it's presented as a Texas product. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Desert Door, that's their flack, is they're appropriating Mexican heritage for something that's supposed to be protected.
Yeah.
And they kind of, the history that the story they tell on the bottle doesn't even mention Mexico or...
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so just a young Caucasian lady really ripped me apart for it.
Yes,
so
it's usually how it goes.
It's usually how it goes. So what was my point? We were talking about...
You wanted Christina P. on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Christina P. and Dr. Drew, both two people that I would... They're so rational and level-headed that I'd love to have a rational, level-headed conversation with them.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'd be so good for this show. But it is in... possible. A lot of people think that I have a little bit of a leg up because of the name ESPN, and that's true in some cases. But when it comes to podcasting lists, like whenever they create the best, you know, like top new podcasts to listen to, I'm not going to be on there because it's ESPN, like it's affiliated as a radio show or whatever, right? And then like if I love Doug Jones. You know who Doug Jones is? You know who he is without knowing who he is. Doug Jones is every sci-fi iconic creature in our zeitgeist for the past 20 years.
He like made them or something?
No. He is the skinny alien.
Oh.
Like if you saw Hellboy.
He like plays the...
You saw Hellboy with the skinny aqua alien?
Yeah.
And you saw the movie The Shape of Water?
I never saw that, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's Doug Jones.
There are actors like that are good at like being the creepy like monster.
Yeah, he was in one of my favorite movies of all time, Pan's Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
He plays both the faun and the creature with the eyeballs in its hand.
Yeah.
You know, like he's
thinking of nightmares.
Yeah. Doug Jones is also in the new Star Trek show.
He's the tall alien guy.
He's the tall alien guy. I'm such a fan of Doug Jones.
Okay, all right.
And then I sent his people an email and was like, I'd love to just talk to him.
Yeah.
And they were like, he's not really into sports. I'm like, I don't watch sports. I don't really talk sports. Yeah. Like, and he's like, I don't know, man. We get this all the time where someone's like a fan, but the show's not a right fit. And I'm like, I get it's on ESPN, but like, it's just a talk show.
Yeah.
And that's also why I've had zero major female celebrities on the show. Every time I ask them, they're like, it's ESPN. I'm like, you want to sit down and talk to this person?
Yeah.
Like, I tried real hard to get, this is a while back, but what's her name? Mia Kunis?
Mila Kunis?
Yeah, Mia Kunis.
Mila?
He's
pretty sure it's Mia.
It's Mila. Mila Kunis.
I thought it was Mila, but whatever.
It's definitely not Mila.
Potato, potato. I don't know.
I fucking hate you, Todd.
Chris with a K.
But she represents Jim
Beam. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she does those commercials.
Tried to get her on, and they were like, it's sports.
No, that'd be awesome.
Sports.
That's weird. Because like, the name of the show would think... I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's really tough to get some people on. There's a lot of female actors. I love Kathy Bates. I try to get Kathy Bates on.
That'd be crazy.
Because she did a show with Snoop Dogg. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, she'll do my show. Like, no.
Well, I mean, you literally just put yourself on the same level as Snoop Dogg there.
No, I just, there's a lot of people that exchange that when she did Snoop's show is a bit, it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough. He was like, I like that movie you did where you broke that dude's ankles. And she's like, from 1985?
Yeah.
Misery? And she's like, yeah, that shit was tight.
Been in stuff since then. Well, I mean, with Christina P's case, it probably doesn't help that you like weirded out her husband the last time he was here. So.
God damn it. That's not been confirmed. Really. We don't know that yet.
Who's her husband?
Tom Segura.
Oh.
That's so pathetic. We talk about Tom Segura all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's just me and Chris talk all the comedy stuff. Adrian definitely.
I don't watch their show, though.
Adrian likes British comedy. Like, he's been sharing that one.
Oh, that
British
guy's great, though.
That guy is great.
I thought about reaching out to him.
That guy's awesome.
Again, for those who aren't sure, this is what Adrian looks like. This is Adrian.
So handsome.
Yeah, that guy. That's him. Look at him. Look at that guy. So great. Hey, everybody. I want to take a quick moment to talk to you about Waterford Single Malt Irish Whiskey. No, not just Irish whiskey. This is not your typical run-of-the-mill Irish whiskey. This is something above and beyond because they go above and beyond. Waterford has done everything they can from terroir, from grain to glass, to really set itself apart, to prove the existence of terroir in Irish whiskey. They are the premier Irish single malt whiskey in the category, and I could not be more in love with the spirit. Check out glassrev.com/Waterford today for all of the information you could ever possibly want to know about what's in your Waterford single malt Irish whiskey bottle today. Cheers. The guy he's been sharing, what's his name?
Oh, God, I don't know.
It's some generic name, too. Like
Stephen
Merchant.
British guy. I don't know.
Some British dude.
Angry British guy.
He's awesome.
But
he's so
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
He's so great. Who brought their Parker's Heritage?
I did. That's the new one. The double char bourbon.
Is it good?
Yeah.
So I got a bottle.
It actually is.
I got a bottle for the social, but I don't want to open it. It's for the social. By the way, I brought this. You know, I thought we could try this. World War II mahogany.
That's a good follow to the Four Roses before I get into high proof stuff.
I have a hard time saying this word, Monongahela Rye.
That's awesome because like both Todd and I are from Pennsylvania. So
1936 Pennsylvania distilled. It was bottled the year we got into World War II, 1941.
That's crazy.
This bottle is insane.
And I can't wait to try it.
There is a. We've talked about this on the show before. So, I was shortly before his passing. I was friends with Winston Churchill's great grandson. He came to the social. We had cigars together quite frequently.
It's the original cork.
No. The cork immediately fell apart the moment I opened it. The cork fell apart.
Are one of these clean? Because I don't want to drink out of the same rum glass.
He would have been so great to have on the show.
Yeah, Jonathan Sands. That would have been awesome.
To drink on the show. He died, I think, the year we started the show.
It was shortly, wasn't it like about a year after he was at the Whiskey Social?
About 2 years.
Yeah, that was a shame.
Yeah, he developed some sort of lung disease and passed shortly. It was the most tragic thing.
Yeah.
I already talked about it on the last Shabbat, so we don't have to beat it to death. Because as I found out, as I tend to repeat myself quite a bit on the show.
That's right, yeah.
Really?
Why don't you talk about like how you discovered Scotch? I mean, I've never heard that.
Well, he hasn't mentioned Dolph Lundgren. He hasn't mentioned Pauly Shore yet.
I mean, all these name drops over here, you know, like.
Yeah,
he hasn't asked you if you know Dolph.
Yeah,
you know Dolph. Do you know him?
No.
This is supposed to be us roasting Adrian all the time.
And any good roast though turns on
everyone involved.
On everybody involved. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Wow. This has
I first got into Rogan, he was doing that. He kept talking about the cat disease, Toxoplasmosis gondii,
yeah.
and the Rat King, where the tails get all intertwined, yeah. and
anything about chimps,
or DMT, you know. So I don't feel so bad that you develop the same habits as some other people, some other great podcasters.
This is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Pennsylvania rye,
5 years or more old.
Yeah. So. Distillation's at least 1936, maybe earlier for some.
Crazy.
That is really good.
It's got to be between 5 and 8 years old.
Yeah.
Right, because in 19... When was Prohibition? December 5th, 1931?
Yeah, it was like... I thought it was in the...
No, Prohibition ended...
Ended.
Yeah, December 5th, 1931. I always forget if it's 31 or 33.
Yeah. I thought for some reason I was thinking it was 33, but.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah. I do the same thing with my wife's birthday. Her birthday is the July 2nd.
Yeah.
And it's so close to July 4th that sometimes I'll.
What kind of American are you?
Been in it 15 years. So I think she's learned to let the little things go.
I was just saying, I thought you were getting confused with July 4th.
And oh, I see. I see.
You think it's July 2nd because your wife is so important to you.
She's okay.
Everything was on that day. Yeah. No, this is really good.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I remember one time, this is like a couple years ago, we were at Rosewater and we were drinking, there was like a Kentucky Owl Rye that came out that was actually one of the good ones, even though I would never buy it because it's super expensive. I think you may have mentioned, Chris, that it kind of tasted like a dusty rye.
Say it again, which one?
It was like a Kentucky Owl Rye, I think that...
The first one.
Yeah.
The first release of Kentucky Owl Rye.
It does remind me a little bit of that because it's kind of minty. You get that like mintiness there. I think I remember you saying it kind of reminded you of a dusty rye, which at that point I had never tried, so I just had to take your word for it.
Yeah.
And I would say that is accurate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is fantastic. The nose on this is...
You trying the...
The Parkers?
Parkers.
Yeah. That one was good. I like that.
That one... Reminds me of Dusty's, and I don't know why. It's something with the double char. It just... Did you try it yet?
I did. Yeah, I'm going to go
back. Yeah, it's like there's just a different... Something unusual with it that's good.
It definitely kind of like smells like a Dusty to me, for sure.
Yeah, there's something Dusty about it. I don't know why. And it makes me wonder about the wood back then.
Yeah.
If they were doing a double char here. I mean, I know that they didn't necessarily do that back then, but it's captures something older.
That's definitely like... The best Parker's Heritage that has come out.
Recently.
In recent memory. Yeah, for probably about 5 years, maybe. I really wish I had bought the wheat whiskey that they came out with. That was probably awesome. Like almost 10 years
Promise
ago.
Promise of Hope was great, too.
That Orange Curse, that was garbage, though.
Oh, God, that was hot garbage.
Horrible. Even I'm not a fan of the, 24-year either.
Oh, that was okay.
It was just okay.
I mean, it's good. It's not mind-blowing. It's 10 years old.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
It's interesting.
It is amazing to me. Once you've established the packaging,
mm-hmm.
you can put whatever the hell you want.
Pretty much,
it, right?
Yeah.
BTAC Handy is only 6 years old.
People
are paying $400, $500 for a 6 year old, right?
Yeah.
And because of the Parker's Heritage packaging, they're putting a 10 year old cash strength bourbon, and this is good bourbon. But what was this, 150, 200?
Something like that. No, I mean, I think maybe 150. I'm not sure.
I mean, think of like the William Heavenhill, though. Like I paid 250 for that 12-year. I think it was 12-year, the one that I bought when we were in Kentucky in last January.
Yeah,
I just think that's so absurd.
Because the previous year was 16 years.
Maybe it was 14.
No, it was 12.
Was it 12?
The new one, well, the one from last year was, or 2019.
But it's really good, though.
But it was the same price as the 16.
Right, right.
They just didn't change the price.
One of the things that drives me absolute batshit crazy when it comes to the GOAT is, and let's talk about the GOAT for a second. So I don't think people understand the hoops that had to be jumped through and the kind of handshake agreements to get it to this price point. And when I hear people say, oh, you know, it's not bad for this price point, I'm like, are you
insane?
Are you insane?
Yeah.
The literal next juice liquid, I know some people hate that word juice, right, even though it's
whiskey
accurate, right?
Yeah.
Is $160.
Right.
Right. It's $60 cheaper. Why are we even talking about price negatively or even questionably at any point? And also, it's going to go up the next release. It has to.
Yeah.
The only reason why we got this pulled off. Let's walk through the hoops that had to be jumped through for the GOAT to be $100. One, the distillery took well below their appropriate standard operating margin. Like, there's rules within the industry that you should make at least within this appropriate range of profitability for a product, well below that. I don't want to out Gulf Coast, but it was unreasonable and extremely generous for them to work with me on this. And then the standard markup rule for a distributor is 25% to 35%. And then, you know, not margin, but like usually within that realm around 25%, 30%. They agreed to take a flat rate dollar amount per case because it was going to go to one store.
Yeah.
It was pre-spoken for, in and out, and it was like $4. Like, wow. It was nothing. Wow. Right? They should have made so much more money.
Yeah.
They agreed not to. Then Specs took well below their margin because they knew it was going to fly off the shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to pull off $100 was insanely difficult. Yeah. So the problem is now you've got people complaining, well, why didn't any mom and pops get this? The mom and pops could use the support. Okay. All right. Let's talk about that. If we go to mom and pops the next round, which is what we're exploring right now, the what they're going to get, it's now going to be infinitely more difficult. More trucks are involved. Right, so for those who knew, like in Houston,
so the distributor pricing is going to go.
The distributor pricing is going to immediately kick
you
in.
You can't expect mom and pop stores.
And we can't expect mom and pop stores to take their below normal margins, right?
And the distillery is not going to do the same favor. That was like a launch.
No, the distillery is still not making a great margin on it. But just for this next round, we're doing everything possible to keep it under 130.
Yeah.
So it,
which is still honestly like at this point. A great price.
It's still $30 cheaper than anyone else. Yeah,
I mean, when I was talking to some friends about it, with even the next thing up that's in the $160 range, if you could buy Pappy Van Winkle 15 at retail, it's going to be $150. If you could buy it at retail, and how many thousands of dollars you have to spend at a liquor store in order to get the privilege of buying it at retail anyway?
Most of the stuff on the shelf that's $100. Dollars. Like, we always talk about that price point. Like, when someone's like, what's the best bottle I can get for $100? I'm usually like, don't.
Don't. Yeah.
That's my advice.
Scotch.
Go down. Scotch.
$60 for bourbon, unless you can get like a Booker's.
Yeah.
There's actually this thing that does happen where, especially in bourbon, the vast majority of the case, the good stuff is under $100.
Right.
Right. Then there's this window of $100 to $200 that's just overpriced garbage. So if you do spend that money in that range, it's a bad idea.
Right.
It's a net loss, right? This was to fix that, but even then it was crazy.
It's challenging. I mean, all the stuff that you had to do.
I know you like to make the profiteering joke quite a bit. I made $0 on the GOAT release. This was just to pull off something cool for the groups. To do something with DFW Whiskey Club, that's heinous, SSW. Some would say whiskey, but to do something with the DFW area and Randall Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Sullivan didn't make any money on this. I didn't make any money on this. This was just to pull off something great and monumental and fantastic and still be the least expensive one in the U.S. We saw that garbage one that Adrian showed us in California for $300.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The
crazy and it was bottle. Like Ezra's hammer.
He probably
hammer.
Likes it, though.
Of course he does. I mean, of course he does. Have you ever looked up his house on Zillow?
No.
I didn't know Adrian had that kind of money, man. Oh. Living out in California, living the dream, you know?
Doesn't he have like
I thought he spent all of his money on food, the fat fuck.
And his au pair or whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't even have an au pair.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell?
He's got an au pair. Oh,
come on.
I don't even like pairs. You can't afford them, let alone.
Oh, man.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, this is Adrian.
Right there.
This is Adrian and his beautiful face right here. Oh, by the way, let me ask your opinion on this. So what do you think about – have you had the Crown Royal – RTDs that they've been putting out?
RTDs?
Ready to drinks.
Oh, are you talking about like the pre-mixed cocktail things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Crown and Coke, so, Crown and Peach Tea. No.
I have not had any Crown Royal ones. I was when I was visiting my family last fall, my brother-in-law had some sort of pre-mixed old fat or no, it was a mint julep and it was god awful. It was terrible.
Yeah, so I have an idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, a profiteering idea. as you like to call it.
Yeah.
I think I want to do some canned cocktails because I really have been burning my way through some of the peach crown and peach. It's peach crown whiskey and tea. Yeah. Like if I'm just want something refreshing and light, but I don't want to drink straight whiskey,
yeah,
all right, you know? So I did a bunch of those Crown and Cokes.
Fair. I think I did some unusual.
I just said that.
You think that's unusual?
I said that to be
well, you drink a lot of weird shit, though.
You
I
do.
What do I think? Oh, really?
You drink a lot. I mean,
what do I drink
all the weird,
weird
beers, like the smoothies. Yeah, the smoothie well, it's beers. Not necessarily weird, not but weird, I'm not surprised that you drink the Crown and
I drink things. Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, so I like it all. And there's days I like to let the white trash in me shine a little bit, you know? So
I guess this was for me, like, I don't like a lot of the sweet stuff, so sure. I kind of avoid a lot of that. But I get it, though.
Crown and Cokes are still good, right? Yeah. Like vodka Red Bulls are still good. And I don't drink them often, but when I do get like a 4-pack, I'm going to focus on that 4-pack for the next 2 days until they're gone. I think I want to do a Gregarious Grump canned like rum and Coke.
I mean, I think you could do...
But like good rum.
Yeah, you could do a good one.
Now people, any snob is going to... Any snob is going to kind of write it off as like, there's no way they're using good rum. No, but... But if I got to look at the numbers, but I think it might be fun to do like an actual rum and Coke or Cuba Libre.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever had the frozen Nitro Cuba Libre at Anvil? I mean,
Aero Flint does the froses, and I'll eat.
Yeah.
Drink the shit out of those.
But I mean, you go to Anvil,
what's
right?
What's the price going to look like on something like that?
Yeah, that's
if you're
the
using
thing,
better though. Rum, like if you
that's what
it,
we're looking at. That's what we're looking at. So it's an idea I have that I
people
think,
don't want to spend a lot of money on that type of. Like poolside drink.
Well, so here's the thing. So a lot of people will go to a bar, the right bar, not Anvil, not Rosewater, but like you know,
they have canned cocktails at Truck Yard over by my place.
Yeah, like that type
that's,
of place.
Yeah, like more a little more casual.
You know, a little more casual.
What's interesting though is because of COVID, though, the cocktail to go thing and the pre-mixed stuff has gotten probably bigger. A little bit bigger and more play.
And we went and saw all three of us went and saw Bill Burr here in Houston, and that kind of it's basically like the movie theater version of cocktails and food. Like it's all garbage food. It's all the drinks are kind of whatever. But if you were to use a good rum,
if you were to make it a little bit,
I mean, it's not 15-year-old Nicaraguan rum,
right?
But if it was good rum and Coke or
what type of rum are you thinking? Like what
we
from
have to
where?
Look at it. Like Puerto Rico, Nicaragua, Barbados. I mean we can look at we can look at it
Speaking
all.
Of, let me try some of that
Mount Gay.
Mount Gay,
So this is
did we not have that one?
How about that for a segue?
Yeah. Speaking of Mount Gay, Adrian. I just think I open my Crown and Coke, pour it over a glass of ice, and it takes me back to like being 21 again.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of no one's really doing that. They're doing seltzers and they're doing all these other things. But I wouldn't mind something cold and refreshing that used like high quality rum and, you know, I don't know.
I think if it was done right with high quality rum, I think it would be good. Again, like
it has to be the right price.
It would.
But a vodka Red Bull in a bar is like $8, right? So if you can do it
for five or four,
no, it'd be less.
Less,
it'd probably be like $2, $3.
Okay,
$2-3 a can is less than most craft beers.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. You
know? And
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm figuring it out. Those things are only money makers in large volumes. They're really pennies in the short term.
Right.
So it wouldn't be something that we're looking. I just think it'd be fun. And I've been drinking so many of these Crown and Cokes that I don't know. I just got my wheels turned. I thought it'd be
interesting.
Fun.
Yeah. Again, like for me personally, I probably wouldn't like it because I don't like sweet stuff like that. But I think there's definitely a market there.
You're a fancy guy.
I'm fancy. Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes I like to go to, like when we went to White Oak.
Yeah.
We ordered off a menu. And what they brought me was
that's a place where I would drink something
in
like
a plastic cup, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be good for bars. It wouldn't be something that most people would use it at a cook-off or something.
Right.
I don't know, man.
It had to be done right.
Those wheels are always
turning. I would do
over
it.
There.
I mean, I've tried the canned cocktails, and I've hated some of them that are like in house at certain bars just because they did it wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think
it tasted pre-mixed. You know, like if you had pre-mixed cocktails, like it has that like. I don't know how to describe it, but a fresh cocktail has a different flavor.
If
it just has to be
like,
done right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I don't think you could do anything with like juices because you're gonna have to use. Like,
it's gotta be shelf stable,
right? Because like I made, I got into like making Jungle Birds over the summer.
What's that?
It's a Campari rum and pineapple juice. Delicious, like refreshing, amazing. HEB sells actually like fresh pressed pineapple juice, which is vastly superior to the canned stuff. Like,
sure.
And I think it's like if you make something, juice has to be shelf stable like that, you're sacrificing a lot of the flavor.
Yeah, and quality.
You're saying you're not willing to press your own pineapples. Like what?
I actually did that, and it was a huge pain in the ass. I was like, we have a Ninja blender thing, and I like juiced it in there, and my God, it made a huge mess, and I got like maybe a cup of pineapple juice.
I only say that because I get shit on anytime I use lime juice. And I know that's different.
Way easier though. You cut the lime in half. And
I agree.
I cannot believe anyone buys store bought lime juice
or simple syrup. That's even more egregious.
Yeah, well, I make it myself.
I've made my own simple syrup, but it doesn't last. I go through it pretty fast, but it's still like it can go bad.
Yeah, but I put a couple drops of like vodka or something.
Simple syrup, I will fight on that one. The limes, I'm with it.
Why
like,
are you fighting?
Fresh limes are better.
I've had simple syrup last me a month.
Yeah.
You know, once you start seeing floaties in it, it's like,
it's also, what is it, like 10 cents to make?
Can I split the difference? The bottle of juiced lime juice at HEB, like the fresh squeezed
Well, the fresh squeezed stuff, sure.
That's super easy.
Yeah.
That's why you buy lime
juice. But that's not splitting the difference. That's just them pressing it for you.
Right.
Which is what I'm advocating for to begin with, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you buy those little plastic lime shaped bottles,
terrible.
That's garbage, man.
The cocktail suffers for
That's for cleaning out your colon. It's a douche, basically.
I just got a really cool juicer, too. Like, it's so back home we make these cocktails called crushes at the beaches back in the Northeast, and there's like one of those old cast iron like juicers. I love those things.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Like 20
pounds.
So we use those a lot, but I just got a hand one that's like it's like a metal like thing that you just squeeze together. It's pretty cool.
I have a ceramic. I think it's ceramic, but it's I think this one has like a hinge on it, right?
Yeah.
Mine just doesn't have that, but
yeah,
it's usually what I use. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to try Jungle Birds today, though.
They're delicious.
Yeah,
there's a couple of different ways to do it.
I already have some names in mind, though, for, like, the canned cocktails, right?
I was going to ask
Grump
that.
And Coke, right?
Oh, nice.
Right, because it's a play on rum.
Yeah.
Grump and Coke, and then you could do a Diet Grump and Coke. You could do a Coconut Grump and Coke. Like, I mean, there's all different things you can do. And I literally have a meeting today, as soon as we're done here, to go discuss it. And... It has its place. It has its place.
Sure.
It's not something that I think that, you know, some people who only do things one way do it. But I'm really like trying to weigh the options of like, let's put some actual expensive, decent rum in there while keeping the price really low and see if we can make a classic cocktail. Cuba Libre is classic, right? And see if we can produce something worth talking about that's not...
Would you try to do like a lower cal version, like a Diet Coke, like a Diet Cola with
just
rum?
Said Diet Grump and Coke.
Because, you know, that's the thing that's so popular is that people want to drink something out of a can that's like
low-cal.
80 calories or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could. I already have package design in mind already. Diet Grump and Coke would be something you could
do. Explore like other sodas, not necessarily Coke?
You want to hear the most douchey thing that popped in my head about the whole thing?
Because there's actually like some independent
catchphrase is get grumpy.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
What'd you say? What was the question?
I was just saying,
I'm already picturing a 90s commercial with, like, kids and explosions and stuff.
Those old Capri Sun commercials where the kids would melt into silver metal.
The silver metal. Those were awesome. It really brings back memories. No, I was saying, like, there's, like, I mean, there's some restaurants around here that have, like, the cane sugar sodas. It's not Coke, but they have, like, something similar to that.
Expensive ones, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, if someone did come into your bar, and it's the right bar, and they wanted a rum and Coke, all you'd have to do is open it and pour it.
Right.
Right? Like, you would – I think it could fill a void. I don't know. It would have to be – everything would have to be – the stars would have to align. I don't know of anyone doing it.
Yeah.
And I like a good white trash cocktail.
So also you're saying Coke, but are you going to use Coke?
That's what I was asking.
Would you use, I mean, can you like even? You'd have to get like some generic cola producer.
I think I could use Coke, but I don't know if we could say Coke without getting the permission.
Yeah. You'd have to find like a generic cola. I mean, but there's
we could use Texas. Coke. We just couldn't say Coke. Cake.
Yeah.
Right?
Cola. Yeah. Grump and cola.
We would say, oh, you could say Grump and Coke, C-O-K-E. Because that's I don't think that's trademarked.
I'm pretty sure that's trademarked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because you're playing on, you on that brand. Right, you're using the brand. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's label. Not the brand. The brand is Coca-Cola.
I think they also have Coke trademarked there.
No, yeah.
I'm there typing in Coke trademark and all these drug things are coming up.
Because doesn't it say Coke on the can?
I feel like it does.
It says Coca. It doesn't say Coke.
It's a Diet Coke. Like, they own those brands.
Maybe it has to have Diet in front of it. Yeah, whatever. Not a lawyer.
But there are Texas producers that I've seen at like Torchy's.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Soda.
Yeah.
And it's like cola.
Yeah.
All right. So Coca-Cola owns the word Coke. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right. So we'd have to use cola. Yeah. That's it's so interesting.
Cola is a better word with rum anyway. I don't know. Like, it sounds like something that would be in a tiki cocktail.
I mean, you could just call it a Cuba Libre, though.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Called a Grappola.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to fit. That's not going to fly. Oh, my God. This smells fantastic. All right. So what have we not tasted?
Did you want to try the...
Yeah, let me check your Michters. Let's talk about these Michters for a minute.
This isn't Michters. This is George
Dickel. Oh, sorry, Dickel. Yeah. Okay, yeah. For some reason, I was thinking of those old Michters clay pots.
Well, they have... Yeah, they have a similar...
Mm-mm.
Because, like, we...
Those roms are fantastic.
When we first went to Kentucky, you know, we had a lot of really good older age cast strength George Dickel, right? Yeah. And that's kind of when I really, like, I was like, man, I really like this flavor profile because it is different than other bourbon out there. You know, I think we joke, kind of has that orange Flintstone vitamin flavor to it, which I kind of like, but I understand it's polarizing. This doesn't have any of that, but it does have like a, I mean, it sounds cliche because it is charcoal filtered, but to me it kind of has a little bit more of like that kind of charcoaly flavor,
sweetness
to it.
I'm teaching a class on Thursday, tomorrow. Well, I'm hosting a class. I'm not teaching it. I'll be speaking tomorrow at Gold Coast.
What title are they
marketing? Yeah, what
you
title
at?
Are
so
they?
So they had me as whiskey expert, and I was like, no, I'll take it off. So
it's you know, I think about this all the time because, like, in our groups, to say that is douchey. But to the general public, it's not. You're a whiskey expert.
You are. You have expertise. You know, like, yeah.
So it all comes down to how easy it is to learn that thing, right? So I look at it more as specialists. Like, most people who are doctors, their doctors normally is followed by a specialty, right? If you're a DDS, are you, you know, whatever the case might be, are you a dentist, are you a doctor in one specific category? I think you can be whiskey experts or subject matter experts in one specific realm. Like, Wade didn't go through any kind. He did do a certified spirit specialist, but his expertise is really in regulation.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there are subject matter experts. There are
he's a person like I think a lot of people in HBS and other groups that I would call to, again, comparing to the public, in what those are the one percenters. They've drank enough whiskey. They know enough. Forget about the regulations and all that stuff. You know enough. You're an expert.
Yeah.
Like, what's an expert if you're not? I know that there's that realm of, like, the whiskey sommelier
shit,
which, you know, is a different thing. But, like,
I have an idea on that, too.
A lot of these people are experts. They are. They know enough that they can have a conversation and talk to people who don't know anything to the level that you appear as an expert.
And, like, that doesn't have to be anything official on it. I mean,
Yeah, it doesn't
mean everyone has friends that are like.
You have a good palate. It doesn't mean you're like, you're a Somali.
But you might know a lot. Like, you have friends that are like, they're really good at working on cars.
There's a couple of people.
And you're going to ask them questions about that. They might not be a mechanic, but that's just what they do.
There's a couple people we know who are Four Roses, what we would consider experts.
Yeah.
There's people we know who are Dusty experts.
Right.
Right. So it's just a matter of you ask them about distillation, they're not going to know jack shit. Or you ask them about aging or staves or whatever the case might be. So there's people who are subject matter experts. I had them put educator, just educator and host of Whiskey Neat on ESPN. I'd rather it be that because you can't really pick that apart.
Sure.
You know?
My point is it shouldn't be picked apart at all.
I don't disagree with you.
If you're in a circle of people that know a lot, I wouldn't want to say expert in that group. But yeah, if you're going to do a class or something, like there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so this is – and it's also not my first class. We do them every year for the past 6 years, all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. The big event that gets a lot of the public attention is the social. But we've been doing corporate events. We've been doing tasting classes, et cetera, for 6 years. Like, it's not something that's new. Dinners. But, yeah, so we're doing that. Tomorrow – actually, so when this airs Friday, the dinner would have already happened. So it'll be yesterday. Which is tomorrow for us, since we recorded this on Wednesday. they're tasting batch two of the goat, so they'll be the first people to taste batch two of the goat. They're also going to be the first people to be able to buy the batch two of the goat. So that'll be available. We'll be able to drink a Dusty at the event, and I do plan to talk about as much of those like whiskey myths.
Yeah.
You know?
That's actually, I think, the
vast majority of my online arguing.
I mean, yeah, that. But I think that's actually where being a, you know, quote unquote whiskey expert is the most important thing, is like dispelling a lot of those myths.
Because that's the most important part of it. Yeah.
Because it's just amazing how much it still is, like, people are like, so whiskey or bourbon can only come from Kentucky, right? And it's like, you know, that's so pervasive and all this other stuff. Yeah.
The two most amazing things to me are the massive argument on whether or not finished bourbons are bourbon.
Mm hmm.
Right? Like, is Angel's Envy bourbon, or sherry barrel finishing bourbon, or honey barrel finishing bourbon? The massive argument that happens, and the exact opposite happens, people are saying that the finishing doesn't disqualify it from being bourbon. The exact opposite of the spectrum is the Jack Daniel's debate.
Yeah.
Right? They're arguing that filtering disqualifies it from being bourbon.
Right.
And I've seen the same person argue that both. Argument.
Yeah.
They're arguing that barrel finishing still bourbon, but charcoal filtering not bourbon.
Well, I mean,
what in the freak is happening?
It's just like with the neck pour thing that we were joking about, where it was like
a lot of myths.
People were making both arguments.
You know what? Like, I'm going to bring that up tomorrow. Neck pour needs to be dispelled. Yeah, it does. Need to get ahead of that,
because it's like people were making both arguments. Like it's both being oxidized, also it doesn't breathe.
You can solve the neck pour thing by a visual, like,
yeah,
okay, now.
Where's the neck pour? Also, the moment you pick up a bottle off the table, you've disturbed it.
Yeah.
It's blending.
I also like the barrel argument, like that there's a ton of air in those barrels, especially if it's a higher aged whiskey. It's been in there. There's a lot of air in there.
Yeah.
Good golly, Miss Molly was less than half full.
Right.
It was more air than it was whiskey.
Now tell me that the little bit.
So did it go bad?
Yeah.
Does it taste shitty because it's been in the barrel?
Like, that being said, we all know that the tear of Four Roses is really what makes
important.
It.
So
I mean,
important.
That's the most.
You're talking about
thing.
A literal difference of 3 feet in each tier.
And you know who knows a lot about that?
Is that Adrian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows a lot about that.
Sorry, I think he just goes by Adrian now.
I think he just does. Yeah. That's not nice. Adrian. Don't fat shame.
Fat shaming is important. And yeah, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is Adrian. It's just a picture of Rosie O'Donnell. Oh God! I actually found a picture that looked very similar to Adrian's photo, and it's Rosie O'Donnell. So it's God. All right. Well, listen, I can't thank you guys enough. It's good catching up in person. We haven't got a chance to catch up in quite some time, and thanks so much for coming and drinking. And
it was fun.
And without further ado. That's what I say at the beginning.
You also say can't thank enough, can't love enough.
Couldn't be a bigger fan. So one time, I'll tell you this last story. So one time, being Jack and my wife and her sister came with me to New Orleans to film a Sam Heughan episode, mm-hmm. the first one. And someone prompted Jack to do an impression of me because he sees the episodes twice. He'll see it in person when it's filming and then when he's editing. And Jack spit out, like he had been practicing for months, the best impression of me hosting the show, making fun of all of my tics and nuances and even wiping my nose too much when I drink. I mean, it's – yeah. So I guess when you do a show – we're 3 years in, right? Yeah. Wow. So, well, listen, thanks again. Let's wrap this up and, yeah, cheers.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.